before Christmas, just a few hours left. I can hardly believe it. The place is a mess. Mom's in her curlers with that dead tired look, and all I can think of is my poor pocketbook. My body is aching and my feet are so tired. I don't feel like Christmas, and I'm sure not inspired. I guess I'm old fashioned. That's what it must be. But this sure doesn't seem much like Christmas to me. Sounds a little familiar, doesn't it? I'm not quite sure how we've done it, but somehow we've managed to take the simple story of Christmas and disguise it so well we hardly recognize it anymore. Wouldn't it be nice if we could turn back the clock, if only for a few moments, to a time when Christmas was just Christmas, a plain and simple old-fashioned Christmas. Old-fashioned Christmas. What a pleasant thought. Just imagine, no more traffic jams or frantic shoppers, none of those after Christmas returns. And just think, men, no more credit card bills arriving on February 1st. Hallelujah! Seem impossible? Not really. There was a time like that, and we know, because in a dusty old attic, carefully tucked away in the corner, we found a diary that tells a very different kind of Christmas, a Christmas we'd like to share with you. The year, 1883. The author, 12-year-old Elizabeth Jane Fleming. The day, December 22nd.
Dear Diary, only 3 days till Christmas, and tonight was the program at the schoolhouse. It was so exciting, and all the parents came. Well, except for Timothy's. His mother's very sick. I remembered all my lines, and Mama and Papa said they were so proud. On the way home, it started to snow, and my feet got wet. The snow is so pretty, though. It makes the whole world seem silent. I wonder if it was as quiet in Bethlehem the night the Lord was born. So silent and still.
Silent.
For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
After eating church, the Smiths and the Remingtons stopped in. Soon they were sampling Mama's warm raisin scones, and then everyone gathered around the piano to sing carols. Miss Remington said she didn't sing very well, but she sounded just fine to me. It's Mrs. Smith I wonder about. I'm sure she wouldn't sing quite so loudly if she knew how she sounded. And Mama let Suzanne turn the pages, and she managed to knock the book off the piano every time. In spite of everything, though, it all sounded rather pretty. I'm sure God must love to hear people sing about him, even Mrs. Smith.
Oh, yes, even Mrs. Smith. But remember, the Bible only says to make a joyful noise to the Lord. Now, I know we can't all fit around the piano, but we can go ahead and pretend. So let's find our places and celebrate together by singing some of the old familiar carols.
Come and behold here, born the
exciting to sing those great and timeless songs of Christmas. What a shame, however, that in most of our world, carols are becoming a thing of the past. A good illustration of that occurred recently in Detroit when a local television personality questioned some children about Christmas. He asked one little girl the name of her favorite Christmas carol. She replied, "Well, I only know two, Jingle Bells and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer." The saddest response, however, came when he questioned a young boy as to why we celebrate Christmas. The boy paused for a moment, and then he shrugged his shoulders and said, "I don't know. They haven't told us yet." They haven't told us yet. Imagine celebrating Christmas and not even knowing why.
December 24th, dear diary, tomorrow will finally be Christmas, and the house is filled with all kinds of delicious smells. Mom and I bake plum pudding and pumpkin pies, my favorite. She even let me stuff the chicken. After supper, Papa gathers all around for the lighting of the tree. My heart was pounding so, even though it only lasts a few minutes. It's such a beautiful sight, just like a million fireflies. Afterwards, little Timothy ran to get the big Bible. With such tiny arms, he could hardly carry it all by himself. He brought it to Grandfather and said, "Read me the story, Grandpa. Please read me the story."
"Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings to earth. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard."
And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger."
And that's the way Christmas began over 1900 years ago. It was God's choosing to do it just that way. No tinsel, no trappings, no tradition, just Jesus. He was born that holiest of nights.
Oh,
December 25th, Christmas Day. Dear Diary, this morning when I woke, the house was dark and still. I slipped out of the bed and tiptoed quietly down the stairs so as not to wake Papa. The coals and the fire were almost out, and I knew that shortly Mama would be down to start another. But my black silk stocking looked odd. Bumps were sticking out all over. I could see a big shiny red apple poking its face out of the top. And I knew immediately that if the crinkled toe meant Papa was able to get raw candy at the store. I curled up in the big chair and watched for the sun. It seemed so special to be by myself for just a few minutes. I wanted to talk with God and thank Him for this Christmas Day, the day that changed the whole world. It's hard for me to understand why He chose to come and then why He chose to die. I guess that must be love. God's love.
Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins.
Well, dear diary, Christmas is over, and I'm getting sleepy. The whole day was just wonderful, and I shall remember all year long. I don't really know what else to tell you, or how else to describe it, except to say, Christmas was Christmas. It was just Christmas.
Why can't Christmas just be Christmas? Why must we change it so?
People add to it, and regardless of how cleverly the world disguises it, Christmas still is and always will be Jesus Christ. Oh, you may have the trees and the toys and all the trimmings, but without Christ, you don't have Christmas. You just don't have Christmas.
Why can't Christmas just be Christmas? With this sweet simple song.
Why can't Christmas just be Christmas in our hearts where it belongs?
Oh, to find once again the joy that Christmas can bring when hearts are bound to honor and worship the King.
Why can't Christmas just be Christmas? How I long for it to be.
For if Christmas were just Christmas, then all the world could see the one who came from heaven's glory to a lonely manger birth.
So willingly
that there might be
goodwill and peace on earth. I guess that's the ultimate dream of all mankind, and yet that dream will never be a reality until every heart knows Jesus as personal Savior, the Prince of Peace himself. Elizabeth Fleming knew him, and he was the centerpiece of her Christmas as well as of her life. He wants very much to be that for you. Christmas can be the most wonderful, the most exciting, and the most joyful time of the whole year. And that's our prayer for each of you, a Christmas that's just Christmas, a plain and simple, old-fashioned Christmas.
Treasure I find.
working out, preacher.
Okay, thank you. Well, let's bow our heads a moment and think on what we've just enjoyed. While the world is attempting to take Christ out of Christmas, there'd be no Christmas left. Be no reason to rejoice, be no reason to sing the praises you've heard tonight. And most of us had memories run back through our mind, I'm sure, as we sort of thought about an old-fashioned Christmas. Think about what they were singing about. God incarnate in the flesh. God being born into the human race. That he could provide for us. A way that we could come one day and be in his presence, not pulled down and damned by sin, but have our sins forgiven. He came to this old planet in the form of a human baby, but he was God in that manger. He was God that lived the life and demonstrated it by the miracles, and it was God that laid down his life on the cross of Calvary for our sins, and it had to be God that could take up his life again. That's what we're rejoicing about. Go with me in my mind just for a moment. This time of year, all across this globe, billions of people, this time of year is being celebrated the truth that God became flesh, that God became a man. Some of you that have traveled some, or you've seen on TV the great big cathedrals of the world, great edifices at great, great expense of time and money, built all because of Jesus Christ, God's Son, God becoming a man. And tonight, some of the greatest musical instruments ever been invented are being tuned up to sing about the Christ child all over this world. Yet from those high places of society and culture down to the little wooden building at the crossroads at a clay road where some simple country folk have gathered, it's all the same message. It's all the same rejoicing that God became a man and became a Savior of whom I and you can know personally as our Savior. That's what it's about tonight. It's a little bit false, very much false, very hypocritical for some folks this time of year to claim to celebrate Christmas. More alcohol is sold and consumed than any other time. More bad stuff is done in the name of what's sometime called the Christmas spirit. That's the devil's intrusion on the greatest truth that we could sing about or talk about, the truth that God became a man to be our Savior. I don't know about you, but my mind raced back to a time when I was a kid, and I'll be honest with you, I didn't know all the meaning of Christmas. I rejoiced with the gifts and all that went with it, but I didn't know the real reason. And I ask you tonight, are you sure you know the real reason? We give gifts to each other because God gave us the unspeakable gift, the gift of eternal life, the gift of his only Son. Isn't it wonderful that we can know the real reason? I challenge you tonight two ways. One is share what you know about Christmas. If you're saved, if he's your Savior, you know him as a personal Savior, you may have some loved ones that don't, or kinfolks or friends. Use this time of year to be a witness for Christ. But then more important than that is know yourself personally, that he's your own personal Savior, that you've trusted him, that you've received that gift. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God. Oh yeah, it's a gift hung on a tree, but a different kind of tree than we think about this time of year. an awful tree called the cross, where the greatest gift that God could give, his only begotten Son, hung and died for our sins. Tonight he's alive. He's not in that grave. He knows about this church service. He knows about the little country church. He knows about the great cathedral. Yes, I think it's wonderful that men all across the globe praise the Lord tonight and through this season. But oh, please, don't go through all the trappings and not know the reason behind it. The real reason, that is, he came to be your Savior. Tonight, we've just had a great enjoyment of the praise and music, and the greatest music ever been written is written because of the Savior. But tonight, maybe you come for the music, but the most important thing I can tell you tonight is you can leave with the Savior that the music is about. If you'll let him be your Lord and your Savior tonight, he'll receive you if you receive him. I pray you will. Would you stand with me right now? Father, we've enjoyed the program. We've enjoyed the results of the hard work that's gone into it. We're thankful we can lift up Christ our Savior. We're thankful we can recommend him to others, and we can invite others to receive him, and that he'll receive them just like he did us one day. And Father, I pray tonight in your house, having sung the praises to your Son, that tonight on the authority of your word, I can give an invitation to men, women, boys, and girls, and tell them if they will, they can accept Christ of Christmas tonight. I pray they might do that. Not one would leave the building without knowing Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I pray you'd have your way, and Lord, that your Spirit would draw those that need Christ tonight. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask the musicians and Brother Cruz, if he would, to just give us a verse or two of an invitation song. And I'll step right down front here. Now, I'll meet you if you'll come and say, "Preacher, I'm accepting Christ tonight. I believe on him. He's the Son of God. I know he died for me. I know he rose again. I've heard it before, but I've never received him." Make this the greatest Christmas you've ever had by coming and receiving Christ. I pray.